in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, fellow indeed. I would like to read that one verse from the text, namely Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, in my native language, prayer. Manam Deva, Divine Prago, Savior Jesus Christ, Lord Krimba, Pogun Sodanata, Indriji, and Anam, Sri Hanga. ഈ ഭോഗനം ഖന മണ്ണിലേ സംഭവന്തായ നാ പൗരൻ ഈ ഭോഗന ഇരിക്കുന്നു എന്നാണ് ദി എഡിറ്റർ ഓഫ് ദ മോഡേൺ വേർഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ ലൂത്തേഴ്സ് ജർമ്മൻ ബൈബിൾ ടെക്സ്റ്റ് ദി ഹോളി സ്പൈറ്റ് ത്രൂ സീ ഇൻ സൈലൻസ് ഡെസേർട്ട് ആസ് ദ ടീം ഫോർ ഗലേഷ്യൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 1 വേഴ്സസ് 15 ടു 23 ഇൻഡീഡ് This passage reveals clearly the splendor of our Lord, the Holy Christ, Christ, and His complete work for the salvation of all mankind. It ends with a missiological note with which Apostle Paul himself identifies. This passage, as you know, is a great Christological section in the Bible. For the creation, the church, the body of Christ, and God's complete reconciliation are concisely dealt with. The scripture selection for today also includes another significant passage, namely John 7, 40-42, which raises the greatest question ever asked by many thoughtful people throughout the centuries. Who is Jesus? It would be most fitting to reflect on these passages at this time of the year when we meditate on the divine glory, wonder, and joy of Christmas, and try to let such divine qualities continue in our life throughout the year. While we reflect on this wonderful message of reconciliation and its mission implication, I would like to take up briefly three antitheses, frequently confronting us, and a brief reaction to them. This should be, I believe, for our evangelical attitude toward our Savior to live in and with us now and throughout the year. The first antithesis against the mission is like this: let them be alone. This is to mean that the people who live outside of the influence of the Christian message should be left alone and enjoy their own way. This has been one of the most popular notions since the end of the World War II. When independent movement and nationalism with strong criticism against colonialism and the outside exploitation were rising in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. These promoted by many liberal thinkers who considered themselves progressive and tolerant. Looking at it from cynical point of view, this is an irresponsible attitude and a cop-out. The mission mandate asks us to be used as God's instrument. Mission is the very nature and the constitution of the members of the body of Christ, the church, both system, privilege, and obligation. The second missiological antithesis is, though they may have some other way of salvation. This is a practical form of universalism. There may be systems among Hindus, Buddhists, Taoists, etc., according to this erroneous argument. Some usually call them anonymous systems. The argument is this, that there are systems, some explicitly, others implicitly. But why you see a complete situation here in this auditorium, don't you? All are Christians exclusively. But then, at the same time, there may be some implicit Buddhists sharing the kinds of belief that Buddhists may hold. Counting against this first notion, the infallible Word of God says, in Jesus Christ, God's revelation and His way of salvation have been clearly taught otherwise. Some may still struggle and by murmuring, but should there be some other way? If there is, it is not revealed to us. One may endlessly speculate this and other similar subjects, but then end in utter frustration. This only increases doubt, uncertainty, and adds more frustration. Responding to this claim, we present Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, in whom we are fully and completely reconciled with God. Now we are to live a life of being reconciled with our fellow human beings. This is the sum and substance of our theology and the Christian ethic. The third and the last activity went like this. We have enough problems. This implies to me that the people in America, for instance, have enough problems for themselves and have no extra time and energy left for concerning other people elsewhere. How true it is, I leave it to your own judgment, for I know you know better about the situation in this country. However, I want to say this much, that confusion in values, social disorder, spiritual bankruptcy, all these are evident today, here and elsewhere in the world. Precisely for this reason, the gospel must be vigorously proclaimed. As someone aptly said, America needs missionaries as much as the lands in Asia and Africa. Maybe we should now think of a completely a new style of mission, truly a mission and witness to the world. This area of mission, I believe, needs new imagination and the courageous undertaking. Naturally, one may say this is the direct responsibility of mission strategists and planners for the first time. But then it is also the concern and responsibility of all Christians. Our global awareness of the need, together with the worldwide mission consciousness, will make this such scriptural passages like John 7 and Galatians chapter 1 truly meaningful. Our theology should be translated into the language and action of the divine mission which is delegated to us all. Mission is no less than the very content and the task of Christian theology. During the year 1980, we heard many impressive, indeed meaningful as well, motives and slogans of mission. It is now the time to proceed to the next step, to put these words into action one by one. This is the way the universal reconciliation of God through His Son Jesus Christ to become truly unity. May God help us all as we are to fulfill as a team this great mission task of the Lord. Amen.